I'll do whatever you want. So 15 is coming up. I said, well, how about I help you set up what you're going to talk about in chapter 15? And the chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians is about resurrection. So we're going to start off by saying Jesus' resurrection is the miracle of miracles. And our question is today, which is going to set us up for a couple weeks from now, is the resurrection too good to be true, or is it legit true? Did the resurrection of Jesus really happen, or didn't it? A few years ago, when I came home from lunch, the phone rang. My wife, Victoria, answered it. And it was a lady stating that we had won a Certified Publishers Clearinghouse prize. In an instant, my wife Victoria decided it was too good to be true. And she said, give the prize to someone else. And she promptly hung up the phone. I asked her, what was that all about? And she told me. And I said, well, why didn't you play along? Maybe we really won. And Victoria said to me, if you want to, go ahead and talk to her yourself. For Victoria, winning the Publishers Clearinghouse Prize was too good to be true. Plus, it wasn't of something very significant. It was just a few hundred thousand dollars. But when it comes to the topic of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there are huge ramifications. The significance is eternal. If Jesus rose from the dead, we know who has the cure to death. If Jesus rose from the dead, we know which religion is true. If we know that Jesus rose from the dead, then we'll know which God is the real God. And we'll know that we don't have to guess anymore. And I think there's a huge part of us that hopes that Jesus really did rise from the dead in order to resolve all of those questions in our hearts. But there's also, maybe there's the sneaking suspicion inside us that really wonders if it's legit true or not. And so a lot of times Christians will struggle in their hearts. Perhaps the resurrection of Jesus is too good to be true. We live in a world of fake news and over-the-top promises that end up being big scams. And no one wants to be snookered. No one wants to earn that label sucker on their foreheads, right? And so we're all a little suspicious about everything, right? We're all hesitant to believe. We have all these reservations about a guy who raised back to life 1,990 years ago. So on the one hand, we desperately want eternal life. But on the other hand, we don't want to be wrong about the cure of death, right? Well, the good news is we're not the first people to feel that way. The people in Jesus' day felt the same way. They struggled with two ideas about whether or not Jesus rose from the dead as well. Turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew and chapter 28, so that's going to be the last chapter in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament, so if you are going to be opening it up for the first time, you'll be going about two-thirds of the way through to the Bible. You'll see the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 28 and verse 1 is where we're going to be at. But let me get you to speed what's happened right before this chapter. Jesus has just been executed Roman style on a cross. On Friday, he was buried in the late afternoon that day in a tomb nearby, and then a stone was rolled in front of the entrance of the tomb. On Saturday, the day before what we're going to read about, on Saturday, a guard was set in place, and the tomb of Jesus was officially sealed shut. And this is what we read here in Matthew chapter 28. Start with me at verse 1. It says, now after the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Suddenly there was a severe earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled away the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were shaken and became like dead men because they were so afraid of him. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, just as he said. Come and see the place where he was lying. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he had been raised from the dead. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. You will see him there. Listen, I have told you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. And behold, Jesus met them saying, "Greetings." They came to him, held on to his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. They will see me there." While they were going, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests everything that had happened. After they had assembled with the elders and formed a plan, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, telling them, "You are to say his disciples came at night and stole his body while we were asleep. And if this matter is heard before the governor, we'll satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story is told among the Jews to this day. So the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Is that what your Bible says? When Jesus meets his disciples in Galilee, it's at least the seventh time Jesus is seen risen from the dead. And Matthew writes something very strange. He writes, "But some doubted." Here's the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ standing right in front of his disciples, and they're so utterly amazed and worshiping him that at the same moment they also have doubt. They had hesitation in their hearts. There's almost no way this didn't happen because the people who remembered that day remembered this part as well. Okay? They're just like us. On the one hand, they're amazed that Jesus has risen from the dead, but on the other hand, it's just so amazing they can hardly believe it. Everybody they ever knew who died stayed dead. And when Jesus died, they thought he was going to stay dead too. And so while they're seeing Jesus alive from the dead, they're also sensing doubt in their heart. Is this Jesus standing in front of me too good to be true, or is it legit true? Now, the word used for doubt here is only used in one other place in the Gospel of Matthew. In Matthew 14, when Peter walks on the water, and then he drops into the sea, Jesus grabs Peter and he gets him into the boat, and he says, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" That word has the idea of wavering. There's hesitation to commit to something. It describes the feeling of holding on to two ideas at the same time and being indecisive about something. The disciples were experiencing troubled indecision as a result of having two minds about what they expected and what they're experiencing. They expect Jesus to be dead, and yet they're experiencing Jesus alive right in front of them, right? They didn't anticipate Jesus' resurrection. Every dead person they knew stayed dead, and as they saw Jesus, it didn't create perfect faith in them. And I think we all flatter ourselves when we would say stuff like, "Well, you know what? If a miracle happened right in front of me, I'll believe," right? But that doesn't happen. Belief isn't automatic. So if you're here and you're questioning, did Jesus rise from the dead or not, that's a legitimate response to the good news. It's okay to wonder. You're not alone. The disciples had these same kinds of questions, okay? Is it too good to be true, or is it legit true? So let's look at the eyewitness evidence together and observe what did the disciples experience? And by the way, we need to take Jesus's eyewitnesses seriously because they're the eyewitnesses that people preferred back in Jesus's day. Okay, according to historian Dr. Richard Baucom, eyewitness testimony was the ideal source of information in ancient Greco-Roman literature. So as you go through the handout, I'm just going to summarize the evidence for you. You can go and you can look up the stuff for yourself about what all the details are. But I'm going to kind of give you the conclusions along the way. And so we're going to see what is the eyewitness evidence. Well, first of all, you see, they observed that Jesus repeatedly predicted the place and the method of his own death, burial, and resurrection, okay? He predicted it in advance multiple times to his disciples before it happened. And according to the eyewitnesses, Jesus stakes the entirety of his claims about who he is on his own predictions about the kind of death, burial, and resurrection and the timing of his bodily resurrection. He tells him it's going to be 3 days. I'm going to rise on the third day after I die. Second, if you look at the eyewitness evidences, you'll discover that Jesus truly died. All right? Jesus was so dead from the scourging, the beatings, the crucifixion, and these all happen at the hands of experienced executioners, okay? These people knew what they were doing when they killed people, okay? And he was so dead, he was beyond being revived. He was officially and personally confirmed dead by Pilate. Jesus didn't just appear to be dead, right? He wasn't just mostly dead, and as we all know from The Princess Bride, there's a big difference between mostly dead and all dead. Mostly dead is slightly alive. Jesus was all dead, okay? He didn't just swoon. He didn't just pass out temporarily and somehow get revived in a cool, empty tomb and eventually find the strength to roll the stone away, okay? Jesus was dead. And everyone believed that Jesus would stay dead. You can't have a resurrection unless you have a real death. Okay? According to the eyewitness evidence regarding Jesus' burial, Jesus' tomb was a well-known burial tomb. Okay? It was well-known by Jesus' followers. The Jewish leadership also knew about it. The Roman authorities knew this tomb. And you see quickly that people didn't forget where Jesus was buried. They wanted to know where Jesus' body was buried. In fact, the tomb was so well protected that it couldn't have been robbed. It was closed off by a large stone and officially sealed shut by Rome with a Roman guard posted. And when multiple eyewitnesses see the tomb is empty, nobody expected nobody at the tomb. The eyewitness accounts of Peter, John, and the women, in conjunction with the testimony of an angel and the subsequent official testimony of the guards to the chief priests, all verify that the correct tomb of Jesus was empty on the third day after Jesus' burial. Don't believe, there's a modern myth out there right now that somehow Jesus was actually reburied in some other tomb. That's not what happened. It's not what the eyewitness evidence tells us. Think about it. Why in the world would the Jews circulate a story about Jesus' body being stolen by the disciples if the tomb wasn't empty? Okay? Everyone knew that Jesus' burial tomb became unexpectedly vacant of Jesus' physical body. Now, if you continue to study the eyewitness evidence regarding the appearances of Jesus after his death, you will discover that Jesus was really alive. The eyewitnesses saw Jesus alive. More than 500 eyewitnesses saw the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ on at least 11 occasions over the course of 40 days with many convincing proofs. They heard Jesus' voice. They touched and saw Jesus' physical body. He wasn't a spiritual apparition, right? He wasn't a ghost when he rose from the dead. Jesus is seen handling food and eating food. His disciples grabbed his feet. Jesus even invited people to look at his hands. Look at my side. Touch. Put your fingers in it. And he showed them this because he wanted to make sure that they realized that the same body that entered in the tomb was the same body that came out of the tomb. Multiple people saw Jesus on multiple occasions. It wasn't just some quick private appearance seen by someone out of the corner of their eye in the corner of the room that nobody else saw, right? Multiple people saw Jesus multiple times. Everyone saw him at the same time when he appeared to groups of people. There's a lot of eyewitness evidence of Jesus appearing to people after he died. So how in the world did Jesus rise from the dead? According to the eyewitness evidence, Jesus trusted in God the Father, and he trusted in God the Holy Spirit to raise him from the dead. And they did it once he died. Now, Jesus is fully God. Jesus is also fully man. But he voluntarily non-used his deity to trust in the Father and the Spirit to raise him from the dead. And even though he had the ability and the authority to raise himself from the dead, it doesn't mean he actually used his ability. Okay? So that's, if you're wondering how in the world did his body, whose power was it that rose him from the dead? I believe that it was the Father and the Spirit who did that. So, back to the question though. Did Jesus rise from the dead? Is it too good to be true or is it legit true? And I want to encourage you to pore over the eyewitness evidence for yourself. And if you're here and you're exploring Christianity and you haven't really committed to it, start by looking at Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. That's the whole center of our faith, okay? Don't ask yourself if Christianity fits where you are or who you are or where you want to be. Ask yourself, is the resurrection of Jesus too good to be true or is it legit true? I'll never forget the time I had jury duty and I got selected for a trial that was a drunk driving incident in Dallas. After we heard and saw all of the eyewitness evidence, the prosecution and the defense rested their case. And the judge turned to the jury that I was a part of and he gave the jury instructions on the burden of proof before we left the courtroom to deliberate. And I distinctly remember him saying, in order to convict the gentleman on trial as charge, we needed to believe that he was driving drunk beyond all reasonable doubt. And then he added, but not beyond all possible doubt. So, when we read a verse like Matthew 28:17, where the disciples in the presence of Jesus were wavering and they're hesitating to believe, we need to remember that the faith to believe that Jesus rose from the dead is not beyond all possible doubt. We weren't there. We didn't see it. We have to trust other people's experiences. Okay? Matthew does not indicate that all their doubts were removed even though they were the ones experiencing it. In fact, unbelief is not just an absence of faith, it's actually the presence of something else. It's the belief that something else took place. It's very possible and even probable to have some doubts, some unanswered questions, some hesitation, some wavering. It's possible to have two thoughts about the historicity of Jesus' resurrection. Seeing the resurrected Jesus Christ didn't produce perfect faith in the eyewitnesses themselves. The faith to believe that Jesus rose from the dead is not beyond all possible doubt. But there are two different kinds of doubt. There is reasonable doubt, and there's unreasonable doubt. There's a kind of doubt that actually wants the answers, and there's a kind of doubt that doesn't want the answers. And I want to encourage you to be open-minded that there's over 500 people who saw Jesus alive from the dead on 11 different occasions over the course of 40 days. We are the people who haven't experienced every experience by humans over the course of history of mankind, so we can't definitively doubt the experience of these eyewitnesses. Don't settle for unreasonable doubt. Don't doubt the eyewitness evidence because you simply don't want the answer that it points to. Third, the resurrection of Jesus, I believe, is on rock-solid historical evidence and is beyond all reasonable doubt. It's not too good to be true. It is legit true. This historical evidence for the historical bodily resurrection is too good to believe. It's too good to be true. Fourth, it actually takes more faith to believe that Jesus wasn't raised from the dead. If you don't believe it's beyond all reasonable doubt, that belief is actually harder to justify than the thing you're doubting. You may have unreasonable doubt about the resurrection theory, but doubt that is contrary to the preponderance of evidence is not just unreasonable doubt, it's actually another faith conclusion. Okay? Any alternative theory that the physical bodily resurrection of Jesus actually rests on less evidence and requires more faith to believe it. It requires more faith to believe that Jesus didn't really die. It requires more faith to believe that everyone went to the wrong tomb. It requires more faith to believe that the tomb wasn't empty. It takes more faith to believe that the disciples stole Jesus' body. It actually takes more faith to believe that Jesus only experienced some sort of spiritual resurrection rather than a physical resurrection. Okay? Just imagine all the problems that we would have if Jesus' resurrection isn't true. If Jesus hasn't risen from the dead, there's no alternative to the horror of death. If Jesus hasn't risen from the dead, there's nothing that can cleanse our conscience from our sins. Nothing will make us okay with our guilt and shame and failure. No amount of counseling or pills will ever take those feelings away. And it also means there's nothing on earth that can really truly give us peace or ever really truly satisfy. And worst of all, if Jesus didn't literally rise from the dead, there's nothing worth hoping for. David Watson tells the story of a pastor who made it through many years of ministry and finally retired. Which is amazing because only 1 out of 10 people who go into ministry retire a minister. But this guy did it. And after his retirement, this pastor decided to use his spare time to read all the modern liberal theologians about what they wrote about Jesus' resurrection. And the more he read, the more he was convinced, he became, the more he convinced that he was convinced that he became, that he, that these highly educated professors and writers, he felt like they knew better than he did. And so slowly but surely, he believed they were right when they said that Jesus had not literally raised from the dead. And when he became fully convinced, he clearly understood what it meant for his own life. He realized that his whole life and ministry had been based on a bundle of lies, and so he committed suicide. Right? It's a terrible thing to live in a world without any true hope for man's problems. And the most important problem of all is death. Faith is futile if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. Life is pointless, right? Even love is truly nonsense if there's no resurrection from the dead. And I know you guys spent a lot of time this summer studying love. And I just wanted to show you, are you beginning to glimpse and grab a hold of what the world would be like if Jesus didn't really rise from the dead? That's a dark place. Are you beginning to sense the despair of humanity would be in if there weren't any Christians walking around with the answer to death? This is why it's so important that you study the eyewitness evidence in front of you. Because if Jesus really rose from the dead, then there is a God. And he's acted in this world to save this world from itself. And we can know which God saves. All ways don't lead to the same God. If Jesus rose from the dead, it means God cares for this planet. Even though we're a bunch of sinners and we totally deserve death and punishment and the shame and guilt and regret of our sin. But God cares so much that he's willing to personally come and rescue us and give us hope. It means there's a real cure for death. And we know who has that cure. Jesus himself. And when he says, I will raise you up and give you eternal life on the last day, you can trust in his promise because he himself has risen from the dead. And he has the answer. It means Jesus is who he said he is. He's God. He's come in the flesh. He's the true king of the earth that we're all longing for to return. It means God wants to restore the relationship that we broke if Jesus rose from the dead. It also means there's going to be a restoration of all things when Jesus comes back as things. He's going to make everything wrong right again. And finally, if Jesus rose from the dead, if he can fix death, then surely he can fix all this world's problems. Are you beginning to see the great benefits of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? It literally changes everything. And that's a far more satisfying picture of life than the alternative. And I'm not even hoping it's true just to be able to have hope. So what difference does the eyewitness evidence make in our lives today? If you're here and you're the kind of person that doesn't believe in the historical bedrock evidence supporting Jesus' resurrection, then you need to know if even seeing is not believing, then you better not wait to see before you believe. Don't wait for perfect faith to believe. Even the disciples struggled to believe as they saw Jesus alive from the dead right in front of them. If seeing didn't create that perfect faith, then you better not wait to see before you believe. And if you still want to doubt the historicity of the resurrection of Jesus, then you need to admit, you just need to be honest. You know what? No amount of evidence is going to change my mind. And you need to admit, when you do that, that you're taking a faith position as well. Admit, it takes more faith to deny all these eyewitnesses and all the evidence of the resurrection of Jesus than it does to believe in it. Every other theory that tries to explain the empty tomb of Jesus takes more faith than believing in Jesus' resurrection simply because those theories have less evidence. I get it. There are totally going to be people who will never believe the evidence no matter how strong it is. And it's my job and it's our job to love those people, respect their choice, and pray for them regardless. And if you're here and you're one of those people, just do me a favor and make sure you really want the consequences of that faith choice if your faith choice is wrong. My guess is maybe you don't believe because of the lack of evidence. Perhaps you have unreasonable doubt because something happened in your life. Something so overwhelming to your emotions are blinding you to the reasonableness of the evidence of the resurrection. In your mind, it's too good to be true, not because of the evidence, but because of something else. Are you sure that you want to let that something else keep you from the great evidence and benefits of believing? Maybe it's time you doubt your doubts instead. When I was a pastor back in Kansas, I remember presenting all the evidence for Jesus' resurrection one Easter, and there was an atheist in the audience named Patrick. He was visiting his daughter-in-law and son-in-law, and he heard the evidence. He didn't believe it. He came up to me after the service and said, "You do a great job of public speaking." Right? He was very polite, and then he traveled back to Dallas. We found out that he ended up in the hospital with some severe health problems, and as a church, we prayed for him. Now, eventually he recovered, and He even came back to Kansas to visit about a year or so later. And he came to the church again, and after the service was finished, he got everyone's attention. We were all kind of ready to exit. I just said the benediction, and he said, "Hello, hey." He said, "I know what my chart said when I was in the hospital. I shouldn't be alive. Thank you for praying." He went home to Dallas, still an atheist. He came back to Kansas for Christmas and came to our Christmas Eve service, and I reshared the evidence. Over 500 people saw Jesus alive from the dead on 11 different occasions over the course of a 40-day period. And afterwards, he had asked his daughter-in-law if that was true. He didn't remember hearing it the first time I presented the evidence. And even today, I still pray for Patrick's salvation. Maybe the preponderance of evidence is becoming more reasonable to him to believe. And if you're the kind of person who's on the fence and you're wavering back and forth, is the resurrection of Jesus too good to be true, or is it legit true? I want to challenge you to repent of the unbelief in the probability of the resurrection of Jesus. According to Jesus, doubtlessness is virtuous. So doubt less. In your heart, I want to encourage you to move from the resurrection of Jesus as something that is possibly true to being probably true. According to the 2022 State of Theology Report, 66% of U.S. adults believe that God accepts the worship of all religions, including Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. They also discovered that 66% of U.S. adults believe in the resurrection of Jesus. Why in the world is there a huge disconnect? People are wavering and doubting and hedging their bets, but Jesus says you can't do that. He says he's the only way, and you have to be all in on him alone. Stop believing that any and all religions have it right. They don't. There's only one true religion, Christianity. Why not give Christianity a real try? Really go for it. Commit yourself to Jesus alone. Go from, "I think there's really good reasons to believe in the resurrection," to, "I trust the resurrected Jesus to save me." Go to Jesus Christ on the basis of your faith in his resurrection. Commit yourself to him. Believe, act as if Jesus died on the cross for your sins and is able to raise you from the dead and give you eternal life. Give it some time to work further into your life. Be patient with your faith. The disciples who saw Jesus from the dead didn't let any possible doubts they had in their mind deter them from being all in on Jesus alone. When you read the book of Acts, you realize they didn't follow any more messiahs after seeing Jesus alive from the dead. And then what did they do? They went out and shared it all because they believed what they saw. They died believing what they saw. If the hesitancy and wavering you feel in your heart bothers you, realize it's going to take more time for the evidence to really root in your heart. But keep exposing yourself to the evidence of Jesus' resurrection. Let the reasonableness of Jesus' resurrection be your guide more than your emotions or more than your life circumstances and more than what the culture is telling us about Christianity. No one here has 100% certainty in their faith. And don't let your need for 100% certainty keep you from maybe the 65 or 75% of faith you do have on this. Okay? One day, you're going to totally love the fact that you're absolutely right for trusting in Jesus, even if you're not 100% sure right this moment. According to Jesus, it's way better to be right than wrong on this. If you're the kind of person and you've been a believer in the death, burial, and resurrection on your behalf for a while, I want to encourage you to keep believing. When you get to your deathbed, you're going to realize you can't raise yourself back up to life. So just keep believing, God will raise you back to life. Just keep believing like Jesus believed in the Father and in the Spirit. Don't believe the myth. Don't believe the myth that you can't understand the evidence for yourself. Don't be a functional agnostic about Jesus' resurrection. Don't believe the myth that Jesus spiritually rose from the dead. He rose bodily from the dead. Just like you could touch me now, he has that bodily resurrection. Finally, I want to encourage you to live like death has been defeated and you're actually truly excited that someone rose from the dead. Tell your face that Jesus rose from the dead. Smile. When the eyewitnesses let the amazement of seeing Jesus alive from the dead grip their heart, they couldn't stop telling people about it because they knew that this was the greatest news mankind has ever received. It wasn't just too good to be true. It was legit true. And they went out and they told the world, and we're still talking about it. Even if you have a little bit of doubt, even if you know it's not beyond all possible doubt, just like the disciples had reservations, but despite those reservations, despite the fact that their faith wasn't perfect, 100% certain, they still went out and told people. They lived like it was really true because it's true. Jesus rose from the dead, and it's our job to share it with our family and friends. So this is what I want you to do this week. I want you to randomly go up to people and do this. Psst, Jesus rose from the dead. Psst, Jesus has the cure for our death. Psst, it's legit true. Everybody we share the good news with is going to die one day. And they're not going to get eternal life unless we tell them. They desperately want to hear this good news from themselves. Seriously. They know they need to have this conversation. They're walking around with a foreboding doom all the time. As Christians, we may have been Christians so long we forgot about that. A friend of mine was witnessing to a guy named Marco. And once Marco's guard came down and he was listening to the good news of Jesus Christ and his need for salvation. He said to my friend, he said, how come you knew I needed to have this conversation? Everyone wants to overcome the tension of their own hearts. They want to believe in the resurrection for themselves. And it's our job to keep going and sharing and resharing to any who are in tune with the foreboding doom on their lives. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I know this is a lot of information, but your eyewitnesses saw this amazing thing. And as hard as it was for them to grip it all before them, They kept trusting and they kept loving and they let it grip their hearts to the point that they shared it, and they shared it to the point of even dying for what they had seen. And even today we have all the scriptures in front of us from these eyewitnesses who wrote this Bible. And here it is, Lord, that you are alive, risen from the dead, Lord Jesus Christ. There is no greater hope. There is no greater news. There is nothing that changes our world like the fact that you rose from the dead, Lord. You resolves all the problems of humanity. You can solve everything if you rose from the dead. You can even give us eternal life. Lord, help us to share that. I pray if there's anybody here who's still wavering, or maybe we have friends who need to see the evidence themselves so they can stop wavering as much and stop doubting as much and start living in faith. I pray that we would share this good news with them, that over, 500 people saw you on 11 different occasions over the course of 40 days before you ascended back into heaven. Lord Jesus, you came and you did the awesomest thing ever. And you rose from the dead, and we know it's all true because of that. Help us to put everything on our faith on you and your resurrection. Help us to share it liberally and generously and intriguingly, and that people would come to salvation, Lord, because they know without a doubt in their hearts, because we would know out of doubt in our hearts that you rose from the dead. Make this change us. Help us to be ready to hear even more how it changes our lives when we as a church here get into 1 Corinthians 15. I pray for Mike and his family on their vacation. I pray for others who are getting up to speed and schools. And Lord, it's a regular routine we can get in a rut in. And Lord, help us to take the hope of the resurrection with us this week, more than ever before, because we're convinced. We pray all this now in Jesus' name. Amen.